dollar proposal includes a big boost to defense spending, $3 billion for a massive border wall, and $200 billion in new infrastructure spending. The proposed plan would add to the federal deficit by $7 trillion over a decade, but it's not likely to go anywhere in Congress, as lawmakers tend to view presidential budgets as mere suggestions. And Barnes & Noble's laying off workers amid declining sales. Workers at some locations didn't find out they were out of a job until they showed up for work yesterday. The exact number of layoffs is not known yet. And again, we're online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! Hey, because it's quite clear that many in our nation's capital are goofy, we'll be discussing what we citizens can do about it. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. I think he's a new pilot. Is that right, Josh?
Well, other than the fact that I'm so over this winter right now, and it's not even Valentine's Day, I wish that groundhog hadn't seen his shadow. And speaking of Valentine's Day, good luck to all of you guys with that special holiday coming up. Don't screw it up.
Thanks, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby is wearing a smirk. We'll hear from him when he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking self-satisfied. What's up, Skip?
Well, I'm self-satisfied just because I'm healthy. This time of year, the flu's going down, everybody's sick, and I am not, so praise God.
That works. Your whole family that way too?
Yep. The whole family is healthy and we're looking forward to spring.
Hey, if you're not looking forward to spring, there'd be something wrong with you.
That's right.
Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to respond to the terrible response by some politicians and some media to the President's State of the Union speech. John James graduated from West Point and served in combat as a chopper pilot. He then ran a business and now he wants to serve our nation again. He's running for the U.S. Senate. Then we're going to meet Sam Kelly. He's going to tell us how the Bob Woodruff Foundation very wisely helps vets and their families. And my West Point classmate Carl Dye will share about an interesting group he's involved with. It's called the House of Onions. And then we'll talk about traumatic brain injury with somebody from the Eisenhower Center.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
Troops, we welcome your input to the show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Lead out, Josh.
Decades of War, TV spots depicting the struggles of wounded warriors, and curbs on military advertising budgets have left our armed forces with an image problem that could take years to repair. This, according to a Department of Defense official. Unsettling myths about the military are rising among recruit-age youth and influencers, parents, teachers, clergy, and coaches, in part because increasingly they have no personal or family ties to the military, according to the Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, Bear Hebert. Hebert says, quote, "While there is great support for military servicemen and women, we do find that misperceptions about service have taken a toll on propensity to serve. And because we're not out there offering a contrary message, we're seeing a decline that is most troubling." Hebert cited various recent survey results that show a majority of recruit-age youth and influencers perceive service life negatively. Many are also unaware of key attractions to service life, including robust GI Bill education benefits to earn college degrees, and skills training that can lead to satisfying civilian careers. For example, 63% of youths aged 16 to 24 believe it is likely or very likely that a person leaving the military today has psychological or emotional problems. Hebert said, "They hear about PTSD and all the challenges faced by servicemen and women post-conflict and believe that's indicative of the vast majority of individuals who serve." The same survey found 61% of youth believe it is likely someone getting out of the service today will have difficulty readjusting to everyday life. And 48% believe it is likely that a person departing the military has a physical injury. Hebert says that, absent any other information, the public has no way to put in context the many ads they see soliciting donations to support injured veterans.
This is an interesting contrast. There's a great respect for our military people and great support for hurting vets, but little interest in joining our military because only negatives are seen as a result of military service. Our military does need a bigger advertising budget, but more than that, we the people need to influence our friends and neighbors about the benefits of military service.
Even experienced fighter pilots are at risk of a phenomenon known as controlled flight into terrain. In 2016, it claimed the life of Marine Major Norton during FA-18 Hornet training at 29 Palms. The bottom line, when you're multitasking in midair at speeds of up to 1,000 miles per hour, it's easy to get disoriented. But the military's F-35 Joint Strike Fighter is about to get a new automatic technology that will prevent pilots from flying into the ground by mistake. And it's coming about 5 years earlier than scheduled. It uses GPS positioning and altitude readings to predict upcoming collisions, according to a military press release. When a crash is imminent, the system warns the pilot to prompt a recovery maneuver. But if no action is taken, auto GCAS will take over, righting the aircraft and executing a 5G pull to get the plane safely off its collision course. Only after the threat has been avoided does the system hand controls back to the pilot. Auto GCAS has been in use by the Air Force's F-16 Fighting Falcon fleet since 2014 and has been credited with saving the lives of 7 pilots in 6 different aircraft.
This is a great tool, and I'm glad our military is making maximum use of it. And I'm going to start a fundraiser. You see, Frontlines of Freedom co-host and co-founder has wanted to be a pilot as long as I've known him, and he just received his pilot's license. Troops, we don't want to lose Josh, so please send some money so we can buy him an auto CGAS. Just kidding on the fundraiser.
Defense Secretary Jim Mattis said that a possible ban on cell phone use at the Pentagon by uniformed and civilian personnel could be extended to other bases and facilities. Mattis said, quote, "We're not just talking the Pentagon, but this is the headquarters for our far-flung U.S. military. So we're looking at how we maintain electronic security and how personal devices such as cell phones and exercise trackers are used by personnel worldwide." Earlier, Chief Pentagon spokesperson Dana White said that a ban was among the considerations of a review Mattis had ordered that was accelerated by disclosures last month that the locations and activities of troops could be gleaned from their personal devices. White said that SecDef Mattis is thinking about the totality of the DoD enterprise worldwide, with the aim of protecting service members and the civilian workforce from being targeted by information downloaded from cell phones or exercise trackers. Operational security is his priority. Mattis's response came following reports that an interactive map found online, the Global Heat Map, published by the GPS tracking company Strava, used satellite information to map the locations and movements of exercise trackers such as Fitbit and Jawbone.
This will be a tough move to implement, but operational security must be a top priority today. There are many nations and groups that are seeking to hurt us in this arena, and I'm glad our military leaders are considering this carefully. And speaking as an old soldier, we functioned quite nicely long before such devices ever existed, and we can do so again.
The Pentagon confirmed that a key missile defense test off Hawaii failed. The $30 million SM-3 Block 2A missile did not intercept an intermediate-range ballistic missile target in its first-ever launch from Kauai's Aegis Ashore facility. Chief Pentagon spokesperson Dana White stated, "It did not meet our objectives, but we learned something all the time with these tests, and we learned something from this one, and will continue to improve our capabilities." Raytheon's new SM-3 2A missile, which is in the final stages of testing, offers promise as a possible future second layer of defense for Hawaii from North Korean ICBMs. The missile is expected to be deployed to Poland by the end of the year for use in the Aegis Ashore site for the protection of Europe from Iranian missiles. The SM-3 2A will have to be tested again at Kauai before that happens.
It's disappointing that the test failed, but failures do happen during development. However, given the North Korean threat, we'd better get to work on this baby and get her operational. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with combat vet John James. He's running for elective office. At ease, troops, take a break.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can be a battle in itself. The USO provides ways for all of us to support our wounded warriors. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in their lives.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. Always keep your guns locked up and safe from unauthorized users, especially your children. Inside your home, you should be able to get to your gun within 5 seconds of sensing danger. To accomplish this, stage a secure and loaded firearm on each level of your home. Above all else, never leave loaded guns unattended where children can gain access. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
Investors, you know the age-old rule about diversifying your investments. That's because they all take turns rising and falling. And with the stock market long-tooth rally, we are all talking about not if, but when it falls. So what might be a good hedge? Well, gold has been the choice of many investors since forever. And furthermore, if you want to diversify your IRA, you need a trustee that not only allows it, but has experience, has been offering gold in IRAs for years, also silver. Check out Gold Goliath. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Ask them the tough questions. Call them at 800-517-3195 to get the information you need to make an informed decision about adding gold or silver to your IRA. Call Gold Goliath at 800-517-3195. 3195. That's 800-517-3195 or online at goldgoliath.com.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, honor, and remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Team, most of you know that I really appreciate what our president has done and is trying to do. And that said, I really don't appreciate the way he too often communicates emotionally. Yet he is our president, and he just delivered his first State of the Union address. Did you know the American Civil Liberties Union complained that the president was divisive and exclusionary for saying the word America too many times during his speech? And many prominent Democrats and media liberals made the same objection? As a veteran, I don't know whether to be amused or offended at such a, well, stupid objection. Nancy Pelosi called Trump's clearly pro-America speech, which was widely approved by the American people immediately afterwards, quote, dangerous. Dangerous? How? Jim Clyburn, Democrat, South Carolina, who compared Trump's presidency to a time, quote, right after the 1932 elections when Adolf Hitler was elected chancellor, end quote, took offense at Trump's statement that Americans are like the immigrants whose parents brought them here illegally as children, quote, are dreamers too, end quote. Folks, these are direct quotes. Our nation has some Congress critters who are so dedicated to their political party's success or their hatred or whatever that they'll put down our nation just to attack an elected president who is doing a pretty darn good job. What is it with these people? Fox News analyst Juan Williams was disappointed by the speech, saying this was an opportunity for Trump to reach across the aisle and bring us together, but he didn't take it. Gee, I thought I heard him offer to compromise for the dreamers. More bizarrely, Williams said about Trump's statement that Americans are dreamers too, quote, David Duke and the KKK would love that. Seriously? What was he smoking? Listeners know that I'm pretty conservative. I'm a Christian, and I'm fiercely proud of America. As an Army vet, I'm proud of all those who served our nation, and that includes the police. I strongly object to politicians of any party and media who put our nation down, because when they do that, they're putting down all of us vets, because we defended this nation. Obviously, today's liberal leadership has a problem with expressions of patriotism. They assume that when someone promotes church, family, police, the military, the national anthem, or goodness, they are somehow dog-whistling to the white supremacists or something. That's stupid. For all of Trump's faults, he pretty much says what he believes. His State of the Union speech was no exception. Probably the most consistent message he had during his campaign was his belief in America First philosophy, not certain groups in America at the exclusion of others, but all Americans. I like that. What these screwballs can't grasp is that we conservatives don't view our heartfelt expressions of patriotism as exclusionary or divisive. Indeed, by definition, they're not. Screwballs in both parties say we're promoting white privilege. How? They wrongfully say our policies disfavor minorities, but they're race-neutral, aimed at lifting all people up. They say immigration enforcement advocates are driven by bigotry. Hey, we're animated by a love for America and the American idea in our founding documents. We don't believe America is the greatest nation in history by accident, and certainly not because of ethnic demographics. These are the values that I fought for, and that I'm deeply offended when these values are attacked. I'm not saying that everybody has to have these values. Hey, good Americans come in all flavors. The way we've always handled things in this nation in the past, if you don't like an elected official, get to work and seek to have your candidate elected next time. That's the American way, not the riots and name-calling thing. The only thing Trump's predecessor did was double our national debt, run down the military, and blame his predecessor, George W. Bush, for everything that went wrong. Oh, he also sold us on accepting economic stagnation as the new norm. By the way, are the lives of America's minorities any better now after his administration? Not to my observation. And the information recently released by our Congress, and that which will soon be released, shows clearly that our federal government, especially the senior leadership in the Department of Justice, the FBI, and the IRS, completely violated both the law and the trust of our citizens, all in the name of politics. This is not the way our Constitution intended our government to run, and it's not worthy of the blood, sweat, and tears that we veterans paid to protect it. Our government should not protect those who break the law, period. Folks, this is an election year. Every member of the House of Representatives and one-third of the U.S. Senate will be up for re-election. Don't take any political party's word for it. Communicate with all of those who would like your vote. Let them know where you stand and ask where they stand. Do keep track of all that they're saying now. We need pro-Americans in Congress, not hardcore party people from either party. And those are my comments. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. I know I'm going to enjoy his topic for today. Go for it, Roland.
A military member is expected to be something of an expert on the national flag, including its history and its customs and conventions, which governs its display and handling. With the onset of the American Revolution, each of the 13 colonies created its own flag. The flags were symbolic of the country in the struggle for independence and carried a tree, an anchor, a rattlesnake, or a beaver, and mottos such as hope, liberty, or don't tread on me. Eventually, standardization became necessary. On 2 December 1775, the Continental Congress approved the design of a flag which was first hoisted aboard the Alfred by Lieutenant John Paul Jones. It consisted of 13 red and white stripes, and on a cannon, the British Union Jack with its crosses of St. George and St. Andrews. On 1 January 1776, the day the Continental Army came into being, these flags were displayed in the lines of the colonial forces besieging Boston. This famous flag has been called the Continental Flag, and later the Grand Union Flag. After the Declaration of Independence, the continued use of British Union Jack on a flag became inappropriate, and a new flag was created. The first act of Congress establishing the Stars and Stripes stated that 13 white stars would represent a new constellation on a union of blue. The Continental Army adopted a design in which the 13 stars were arranged in a circle so that no colony would take precedent. Both Stars and Stripes continued to be added, so after Kentucky and Vermont were added, there were 15 Stars and Stripes, and they continued to be added to the flag. It is this flag that was flown over Fort McHenry on the occasion of its bombardment by the British fleet and inspired Francis Scott Key to write the Star-Spangled Banner. The flag we know today has 13 alternating red and white stripes representing the 13 original states that had struggled to found the nation and had become its first states, and that a star should be added to the blue field for every state coming into the Union. During the Mexican War, the flag had 28 and 29 stars. During the Civil War, it had 33, 34, and 35 stars because no stars were removed when the 11 states seceded. And in the Spanish-American War, it had 45 stars. During World War I and World War II and the Korean conflict, there were only 48 stars. It wasn't until 1959 when the 49th and 50th star were added with the admission of Alaska and Hawaii as states. The naval services also used the jack, which corresponds in design to the blue field and its stars. It is flown by government vessels while at anchor from the jack staff, which is in the bow, along with displaying the national flag. Another American flag seen a lot of times in the maritime world is the yachting ensign, which is displayed by privately owned vessels and which consists of 13 red and white stripes and a blue field with 13 stars arranged in a circle around a white fouled anchor. So just a little bit of interesting information about our national flag. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. You are an amazing guy, and I'm proud to call you friend. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we're going to meet Army veteran John James, who's running for office. Then we'll hear how the Bob Woodruff Foundation helps veterans. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops are doing push-ups, and this is Groundhog's Day month, so do 24, then stand at ease. Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service back into the workforce. In fact, we were recently named as a certified veteran-friendly employer, emphasizing our commitment to hire, train, and retain those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Nash and begin your civilian career with us.
Learn more at spartannash.com/careers.
For those who have loved ones serving in the military, waiting is a way of life, whether it's by the phone or by the computer. And waiting is not fun, especially when the waiting is for the status of an unexpected injury. Fisher Houses give families of wounded warriors receiving care at military or VA medical centers a home away from home, so they can focus not on waiting, but on being together in a time of need. Learn more at fisherhouse.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Russia perceived that its past efforts as successful and views the 2018 U.S. midterm elections as a potential target for Russian influence operations.
National Intelligence Director Dan Coats testifying on Capitol Hill about threats from China and Russia. The Intelligence Committee alleging that the Kremlin ordered a campaign to influence the 2016 election. The president questioning that assessment as investigations have turned up no evidence to support that. Experts say polling centers weren't hacked. Anything done by Russia was all by way of social media accounts. Meantime, conversation continues today about DACA, the president asking Democrats to negotiate with a Republican proposal that includes funding for a wall and tighter immigration rules. Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas on Fox saying,
"It's going to encourage more illegal immigration. We know that, so we have to secure our southern border. Our bill provides the money and the legal authority to do so."
This is USA Radio News.
Addiction. There was a day when the word addiction was just another word. If you're battling addiction, it's not easy to ask for help. It's hard to admit you really need it. Call and end addiction. Call and connect with representatives of a treatment center or rehab facility. Call and end addiction. 1-800-665-0239. Some insurance plans help pay for the cost of treatment. Be sure to check your policy or call your agent to see if you're covered. It's not easy to talk about your addictions or those of someone you care about. It's hard for you to experience. It's hard for them to watch. The first step to ending addiction starts with one free, private, and no-obligation call. Addiction. There can be a day when the word addiction is just another word again. Your life is not over. There are things you still need to do. The first thing to do is call and end addiction. 1-800-665-0239. 1-800-665-0239. 1-800-665-0239.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet a friend who's a fellow West Pointer, a combat veteran, a business owner, and a heck of a good citizen, John James. John flew combat helicopters, in combat, obviously, and served our nation well. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, John.
Thank you for having me.
John, talk to us about your military career. Why'd you go to West Point? What'd you do when you got out? Give us some background.
Sure. Well, I started this whole thing out back when I was, of course, in high school. I had the opportunity to go to West Point, but I had to take a different path. I had the opportunity to go to the United States Military Academy Preparatory School, which was then in Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. And so if you can think back to when most of us are 17, 18 years old, and you're taking a look at, say, 1 year of prep school, 4 years of West Point, and 5 years minimum, of military service. So you're looking at a 10-year runway when you're 17 years old. And so I went to West Point initially because I wanted to be a leader, because I wanted to give back. I wanted to be part of the ROI, the return on investment that so many have fought and died for in this country, for my freedoms. And I wanted to pay what little pot I could to earn that for my kids and for myself. So I left when I was 17 years old, born and raised in Michigan, the Detroit area specifically. And I left home, left my community, left what was comfortable, and pursued discomfort in the service of my nation. I went to West Point Prep School. I was enlisted for about a year as a student in Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. And then went to New York, became a plebe, went all the way through in 2004, graduated West Point in 2004, then became a Ranger qualified Apache pilot, flew 750 hours combat in Iraq, and brought all my aircraft and all my men back home safely. So that is a brief snippet on once over the world in my military, and I was just delighted and honored to serve with the best and brightest. I have a passion for service and always have my entire life.
You know, I've spent a lot of time in helicopters. I've never a pilot. And I've got an engineering degree from West Point and all that good stuff. But I'm convinced that helicopters can't really fly because they don't have wings. They just do it with mirrors.
Oh, no.
Do they really fly?
It's magic. No, they don't fly. They beat the air into submission. They shouldn't fly. They are giant, unwieldy beasts. And your head – and flying an Apache, you have an HDU. It's controlling your eyes and your head movement. And you have both your arms going, you have your feet going, and you have the guy in the back. And so it's a little bit of magic and a lot of planning to keep those things in the air. But we do fine.
Well, I know they work effectively. I survived a crash in one, so I know they will land hard sometimes.
But yeah, terrorists definitely don't question the effectiveness of the Apache. So.
No. That's quite a bird. And one of the things you mentioned that is really important, you brought back all your gear and all your people. That's an important thing to do from combat. Not everybody gets the opportunity to do that.
And I can't take any credit for that. First and foremost, I praise the Lord for his mercy, his grace, and bringing us all back, and give all credit to him. And second, I had outstanding NCOs and amazing warrant officers who served with me, who I had to listen to and had the pleasure of serving with. But this is something that, and we'll get to this later on in the interview, this is something that we miss in the current political process and in the current environment. This is not an either-or thing. It's an and-both. We said things, and you remember this, we said mission first, people always. And it's not mission first sometimes and people sometimes. I didn't get to go to my commander and say, hey, I accomplished the mission, but I didn't bring back any of my people. I didn't get to say, hey, I brought back all my people, but I didn't accomplish the mission. As a leader in the United States Army, you're expected to do both. And so I think that too few times we've accepted mediocrity from our leadership in Washington, where we expect you to be able to accomplish a mission in Washington and do it without bankrupting our children's futures, to do it without breaking your promises to the current constituents. So I'm looking forward to bringing some of those military disciplines in honor and integrity to Washington, and it would be an honor to serve the mission.
Well, you know, John, that's one of the reasons why I've asked you to join us in the show today. One of the things that's really clear, and I guess is very contemporary, is Congress has this responsibility to pass a budget. And they're supposed to do it in time for the new fiscal year. And clearly, I don't care, Democrats, Republicans, right, left, majority party, minority party, they ain't doing it. So that's one of the reasons why we need people in Washington who will get focused. And that's one of the reasons why I think combat veterans, all veterans, yes, and there are jerks among us who are combat veterans. There's no shortage of
them. No, it ain't so.
But we need that mission focus, that mission and people focus. So that's one of the things that military folks in general and combat vets in particular bring to the mix. Talk to us about what you did while you were in uniform other than deployments.
Sure. When I got out of West Point, of course, you understand flight school. Sometimes it takes folks a long time. But when I went through, the surge was just beginning. Around 2004, 2005, 6, 7 time frame. And so it got to the point where, given the atmospheric conditions, given the increased technology that we had, the demand for Apache pilots was peaking. And so I actually wanted that mission. I was in flight school at that particular time. And whereas some folks in flight school may take 2 years or so, I actually made it through in about a year and a half. We were doing our very best to get Apache pilots to the front lines, because when you're running into situations where we're fighting in urban environments in Baghdad, this is hand-to-hand combat in a lot of cases. A lot of these convoys don't have air cover, and they wanted eyes over them to protect them at all times. And so when you have the responsibility of being the eyes, ears, and then the fists of American people, it really changes your perspective on life. But I went through the training program at Fort Rucker and learned how to fly the bird, and I actually was taught how to be a true aviator by the outstanding warrant officers who trained me at Fort Hood, Texas. I left Fort Rucker, went to Fort Hood, Texas, trained for a year, and then deployed with 403 ACR. It was a 4th Squadron, 3rd Armored Cavalry Regiment out of Fort Hood, Texas. We deployed to Baghdad. So we had one tour, two campaigns. The first campaign, of course, was the surge, and the second was Iraqi sovereignty. And our tour spanned two campaigns. So we were there in Camp Taji during the height of the last throes from the Sadr City Offensive. And those who were there during that time frame will be familiar. This is when we actually, and I will tell you, we actually saw with our own eyes Iranian incursion into the fight, into Iraq, into Sadr City. The Iranian influence in the Operation Iraqi Freedom actually killed Americans. And there's technology directly from Iran that we were defending against killing Americans. So we had to do everything from provide communication to close combat attack support. And we flew 24/7 for almost 455 days in support of American troops on the ground.
Wow. Well, I know from having been a grunt that the sound of helicopters when you're in close combat is one of the sweetest sounds in the world. So I can understand why the demand for you guys was as great as it was, and I can understand the job satisfaction you'd got by doing a job that needed doing and saved lives. John, at some point you did come back. You felt it was time to do something else with your career. So did you resign or did you flip into the reserves? How did you do that?
So a funny thing happened on my way to Baghdad. So while I'm over there fighting for Iraqi freedom, doing my very best to be essentially the angel of mercy for those Americans and allies and those aligned with our forces, and the angel of death to those who would do harm to Americans and our allies in any way, I'm overflying broken areas in a war zone, and we come back from our missions, and I talk to my friends and family back home, and we get images beamed back to us on the Armed Forces Network. Do a great job. And if you caught the date, I was in Operation Rocket Freedom 07-09, and that was about the same time that the market was crashing here back home. That was about the same time that Michigan, Detroit specifically, was going through some of the hardest times. We lost over 800,000 jobs during the Great Recession, and Michigan was hardest hit. And so I get images of broken down buildings, burned out areas, neglect, and things that look like a war zone. And I'm over fighting for Iraqi freedom, and I didn't feel like there were enough people back home who were fighting for Michiganders. And so while I was over there, I resolved to come back home and do what I could. I'm off fighting for my country and in the interests of America to preserve freedom and democracy all over the world. But I didn't feel like there were enough people doing their best to extend freedom and true democracy to the people, American citizens, back at home. So I decided to then resign my commission after a couple of years, and I came back home to join the family business headquartered in Detroit, Michigan.
Folks, there's a lot more to talk about John James and his plans, and we'll do that when we come back. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every morning. Then take a break and stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This message is brought to you by GSK. According to the CDC, we are in the midst of a very active flu season, with much of the country having experienced widespread and intense flu activity. While relatively rare, the flu can lead to hospitalization and death. Since 2010, annual flu-related deaths during regular flu seasons have ranged from 12,000 to 56,000. Cerise Murata, Chief Operating Officer of Families Fighting Flu and a GSK spokesperson, lost her son Joseph to flu in 2009 when he was only 5.
It wasn't until after losing Joseph to the flu that I realized how serious flu could be. People, for the most part, think flu is just a bad cold. They don't understand how serious it can be, how critically important it is for everyone 6 months and older to be vaccinated against the flu every year. And that's why my mission really is to spread that awareness in hopes that we can save some other families from experiencing similar tragedy.
Currently, the CDC recommends that all people over the age of 6 months get vaccinated against the flu annually. Visit the CDC's influenza website, flu.gov, for more information.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Army vet John James. John, you got out of the Army to come back and help your community grow. And there was a family business that you got involved in. Talk about coming back, what you did in your community when you returned home to Detroit.
Sure. And again, I would like to say that I'm nothing and no one special. I began the last segment saying that I have a passion for service. I recognize who I am and who I'm doing this for and what little I can do to make the life better of those around me. I have a duty to do. I truly believe that those of us who have the opportunity and the blessings have an obligation, not an option, to continue our service, to convey those blessings on to as many others as possible. And the reason why I got out of the military was most of the same reason that I got in. It's because I wanted to do the most good with what I had. And at the time of the Great Recession, if you remember from the last segment, what people truly needed was an opportunity. What they truly needed were jobs. What they truly needed was somebody who could reach out, who could benefit the community in Detroit coming out of the Great Recession. And so I came back from the military in 2012. And I was able to grow my family business, which is an automotive logistics company headquartered in Detroit, from $35 million at the time to $137 million in revenue in less than 5 years. And most importantly, we were able to add 100 jobs in Michigan and east of Mississippi. That's what we're really proud of, is now there are 100 additional families who have an opportunity to reach the American dream, have an opportunity to work and to have pride in their work and to hopefully begin taking steps to grow as a result of having a job. So, again, this isn't about me. It's about the opportunities that I've been given, and I just pray that I'm making the most of it.
Well, that makes a great deal of sense. And the one thing I think I've detected about you, John, and I think I've detected it when we first met, is that you're not politically correct. You're one of those people who has faith in God.
I was told back when I was at school, we had a great conference, and I remember Chaplain Kuhl, actually, was the chaplain at West Point, who's actually from Detroit. And I remember him giving a sermon during this seminar, during this talk, and he asked everybody in the room, he said,
if you are taken in front of a court and someone accused you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And so as we take a look at what we're doing and we're prioritizing our lives, I recognize that regardless of how much I want to serve and how I'm continuing to follow this path, I refuse to win a seat and lose my soul. I am a Republican because I'm conservative, and I'm conservative because I'm a Christian. Now, I also am a military officer and understand the separation of church and state, but my values I wear on my heart and I take with me wherever I go. And I believe that I show my faith, not by talking about it, but by living it. And I want people to know that I'm a Christian by my love, not by what I tell you to do, because then you start getting to areas of hypocrisy, because we're all sinners. But I have no time for political correctness, because where I come from the battlefield to the boardroom, people lose opportunities, they lose their lives, and they lose opportunities when you are unable to be candid, upfront, and honest with them.
That's a pretty good summary of the man that I believe you are, of your qualities. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing John James's plans right now because he is elected to run for the United States Senate. John, we've already talked about the fact that we need people in Washington who will get the job done. I think we send people there who are good people, but I think they find the system there, the culture there is corrupting. How do you plan to approach Washington to help return our government to caring about America and not power in Washington?
Well, I'll tell you, the first step that Michigan voters can take is to send somebody who has a track record of taking the harder path rather than the easier one. I think the first step that Michigan voters can take is to send somebody who has a relevant experience when it comes to understanding national security, taking somebody who has experience understanding national security from a tactical to a strategic level, and somebody who understands how to keep Americans safe because he's done it before. Sending somebody to Washington who understands economic opportunity, understanding the nuances of economic opportunity is not just creating jobs. Those jobs are important, but there are people who have jobs right now who still need welfare, and that's not good enough. See, our government is content with good enough, and I'm not. The way I was raised and the way I learned in the military is the minimum standard is not good enough. We always want to shoot for the max. We always want to do the best. And no one is looking for a handout. We're looking for a hand up. We're not looking for a free step. We're looking for a fair shot. And so understanding the nuances of economic opportunity include education, include upskilling our existing labor force, include the role of entrepreneurship in allowing veterans and allowing everybody to elevate and achieve the American dream. And then finally, like I said, veterans issues. Having somebody in Washington who understands exactly how to do this, and precious few people. You mentioned, I truly believe that, as you mentioned, there are a lot of great people in Washington, but there are few people who really, when you talk about folks who, and somebody who I'm running against, Debbie Stabenow, who's an elected official for 43 years and been in Washington for 20. So two things you need to know in order to lead. First, you need to show up. Second, you need to be able to relate. And you also have to have the competence. And when you're talking about bringing solutions, when you have somebody who's done nothing else but politics, we can't be surprised when all they can do is politics, when they can't bring the solutions, when they don't come forward with the leadership. I think that Michiganders now have an opportunity to not send career politicians, to not continue to send people who can buy seats, to not to continue to send lawyers to Washington. What we need more is leadership in Washington. I truly believe that our nation functioned best. I'm old enough to remember when military service was considered a prerequisite to going to Washington. Because the skill sets that you develop, understanding mission first, people always, understanding no excuse, understanding how to work toward the greater good, those are all things that you shouldn't have to be taught when you're responsible for 385 million lives in this country. Those are things that you should just have. And people who have a passion for service and have demonstrated already should then have the opportunity to continue to lead. And that's what I want to do when I get to Washington. So the goal is to go to serve as a statesman and come back home, and then to allow new fresh blood to come in behind me so we can continue to lead in a manner of effective cooperation and getting results for the people of the state of Michigan.
So you're not looking for a lifetime job. You're willing to go there, serve a term or two, and come back and live under the laws you just passed.
Exactly. And so part of the thing is, look, I'm 36 years old. I could serve 5 consecutive terms and be younger than my opponent is right now. And so part of this is age is experience is not a function of age. Wisdom is not a function of age. Relevant real life experience is a function of relevant real life experience. I have those experiences, as I mentioned, from national security, economic opportunity. Those are things that matter the most. And so when you start talking about what we're looking at in our national debt, what we're looking at in terms of student debt and our capital structure, I'm going to have to live under the rules that I implement for the rest of my life. And so while I'm walking around the corridors of the Senate,
I'm going to have two young boys and a beautiful wife walking around the aisles of Meijer buying groceries. I'm going to be held accountable by my own state. I can't go to Washington and act a fool because I'm going to have to be accountable for that for the next 50 to 60 years. Not very many people in the Senate right now can say that. And we need to have people in Washington who have an intrinsic motivation, have skin in the game in the future, and have the ability to have an energetic leadership, passion for service, and a clear vision to take us to where we need to go in the future.
John, very well said. Before I let you go, if listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they touch base with you and your campaign?
Sure. Please go to johnjamesforsenate.com. I'm also on Facebook, Twitter. Again, that's johnjamesforsenate.com. We'd love to hear from you.
John, thank you very much for taking time to join us today. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your service to our nation back when you're on active duty. And thank you for your vision to continue to move our country forward. I'm proud to call you friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you for your time, Colonel, and I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Here's our Stan Tall Troop Report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. Navy Lieutenant Commander Erica Schilling, a military nurse midwife at Naval Hospital Bremerton, recently used her medical skills to pull back a man from the brink of death on a local area ferry trip. Schilling was traveling on a Washington State ferry when she overheard another passenger frantically comment that immediate medical attention was needed. A man had slumped over and appeared not to be breathing. Schilling took command of the situation and provided emergency cardiopulmonary resuscitation for 14 minutes to save the man's life. Schilling credits her Navy training, including 21 years of combined Navy Nurse Corps and Hospital Corpsman experience with Fleet Marine Force qualifications experience, for her immediate response to the emergency. Quote, "I heard her on the phone saying, 'This is an emergency.' My ears went up," said Schilling, who had just spent that fateful day at the Heritage Museum in Everett with her two sons, Kevin 7 and Connor 5, before boarding the ferry for the return trip home. The man's heart had stopped. Schilling maneuvered him from his seat to the floor, instructed another passenger to alert the ferry's crew, who showed up quickly at the scene with an audiomatted external defibrillator. Schilling then started performing CPR, aided by one other person. Quote, "I respond to emergencies. It's what I do. I was able to be the first responder there," Schilling said. Once the ferry docked, a medical team transported the man to a hospital, yet Schilling determined that her efforts were not over. The stricken man and his wife were not familiar with the area, so Schilling led the wife from the ferry to the hospital. The man did survive and is currently recovering at his home in Spokane. So stand tall, Lieutenant Commander Erica Schilling. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour learning how the Bob Woodruff Foundation supports veterans and their families. Then Army vet Carl Dye will discuss the House of Onions. And Dr. Jeff Kirshner from After the Impact will discuss traumatic brain injury. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. The movie we'd like you to watch and comment on for this month is The Last Man Standing. Find the link at the blog on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops go somewhere and run some wind sprints through the snow if necessary. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook. Mike Hewitt here. I used to joke that words like etiquette, honor, respect went out of style with a fedora hat. The problem is, I still wear a fedora, and I've not given up on those three foundational concepts. I'm told to keep up with the times, that there's a new language, a new social norm. Okay, but is this the trade we really want for our sons and daughters? The often mean-spirited exchanges on social media, differences in opinion reduced to one side or both must be a liar. Foul language in place of thoughtful conversation, sometimes as commonplace as is and was. Times truly are changing. Keep in mind, this change thing is as old as humanity. Societies always change from one generation to the next. Old norms are traded for new, and Rome was built and fell before the Dark Ages. I think we need a course correction. If you agree, let the change begin with us, you and me and our families. For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Russia perceived that its past efforts as successful and views the 2018 U.S. midterm elections as a potential target for Russian influence operations.
National Intelligence Director Dan Coats testifying on Capitol Hill about threats from China and Russia. The Intelligence Committee alleging that the Kremlin ordered a campaign to influence the 2016 election. The president questioning that assessment as investigations have turned up no evidence to support that. Experts say polling centers weren't hacked. Anything done by Russia was all by way of social media accounts. Meantime, conversation continues today about DACA, the president asking Democrats to negotiate with a Republican proposal that includes funding for a wall and tighter immigration rules. Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas on Fox saying,
"It's going to encourage more illegal immigration. We know that, so we have to secure our southern border. Our bill provides the money and the legal authority to do so."
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, everyone. Wayne Allyroot. Let's talk about your health. There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Nutritionists have debated this for years, but luckily there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus from our friends at Purity Products. I take it, and I love it, because it combines ultra-pure fish oil for your heart and krill oil for your joints, together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote your cardiovascular health in ways your doctor will love. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just 7 days. So you will feel better, guaranteed. Purity is so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, they want to send you a free bottle to put it to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil, it's both, and now it's free. Just pay a little shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. That's 800-399-6392. Call now, 800-399-6392.
Defense Secretary Jim Mattis in Rome talking about where captured ISIS fighters should face justice. USA Radio's John Clements with more.
The administration wants to detain foreign fighters being held by U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces to be turned over to the other 13 members of the coalition fighting ISIS. Mr. Mattis discussed the current mission on the flight to Italy.
First mission, finish off ISIS physical caliphate. That is still underway. The fight's not over against ISIS. It's not over. It goes on. There's been tough fighting the last week with ISIS.
That's John Clements. The group Americans for Prosperity set to launch a $4 million TV and digital ad campaign on Thursday aimed at Democrat Senators Joe Donnelly of Indiana and Claire McCaskill of Missouri for voting against the GOP's tax cuts. Donnelly and McCaskill both up for re-election in states the president won easily in 2016. The Hill saying Trump carried Missouri by nearly 20 points and won Indiana by about 19. This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers? The name's Nigel. I'm a well-educated owl, therefore well-versed in the difference between what's wise and unwise. Talking like a pirate on a job interview. Unwise. Using Zizol for 24-hour relief of your allergy symptoms? Quite wise. In a clinical study, 90% of allergy sufferers who use Zizol felt powerful 24-hour relief after just one day. So for continuous allergy relief, don't be unwise. Be wise all. Take Zizol. Use as directed.
There are reports that Amazon is laying off hundreds of employees, the majority of the layoffs affecting the company's Seattle headquarters, but some global teams may be affected as well, though the company isn't reducing its overall headcount. It currently has 3,900 open corporate job listings in Seattle and 12,000 open positions worldwide, which point to the company's aggressive hiring plans. Amazon saying they added 130,000 jobs in the past year, which doesn't include the $13.7 billion acquisition of Whole Foods. Across the Christian world, Lent begins tomorrow, which means for many, it was party time on Tuesday. USA Radio's Chris Barnes with more.
While people all over the country gather to celebrate Fat Tuesday, which wraps up Mardi Gras, nowhere was it more raucous and lively than Ground Zero for Mardi Gras, New Orleans, Louisiana. That was the sound of one of numerous parades going through the streets through the day. Many head to New Orleans for the big event because Mardi Gras is free. So there's no official count of participants, and because of that, the city can only measure the success of each year's event by how much trash it picks up after the celebrations subside. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
A Catholic school teacher in Miami fired after marrying her same-sex partner. USA Today says that first grade teacher Jocelyn Morphy lost her job at St. Peter and Paul Catholic School just one day after getting back from her wedding to Natasha Haas in the Florida Keys. The Archdiocese of Miami confirming that firing. This is USA Radio News, online, usaradio.com.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR.